Right, we're coming up to Parshas Shlach Lecha, and this maimer, folk of which was said in 1983, which, like this week, was Parshas Shlach Lecha. It was said on Shabbos Mevorach in Tammuz, which is this week as well. So this maimer concerns a passage in the middle of the Sedra. Not directly to do with the spies, which is the main story of the Sedra. But after that, we've got these psukim, by Dabar Hashem el Moshe Lema, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Dabel b'nei Yisrael, speak to the b'nei Yisrael, v'amata lehem, tell them, ki tavo el eretz moshvotechem, when you come to the land where you will dwell, that's the land of Israel, asheni noten lachem, which I'm giving you, Vasitem ishel Hashem, you should make a offering to God, ola o zevach, when you make an offering, a burnt offering or a peace offering, lefale neder, over nedava, something that you vowed to give, over ma'adechem, or on your festival, lasot reach nichoch Hashem, to bring an offering with sweet savor to God, mina bakao mina tzon, from the flock, from the cattle or from the flock. Then it says, an interesting addition, verse 4, v'hikriva makhiv korbano l'Hashem, the person bringing the offering to God, should also offer mincha solet isaron, a flour offering, a fine flour, a tenth of an ephah, balul b'raviyat ha'hin shaman, mixed with a quarter of a hin, that's a measure of oil, of olive oil, v'yayin l'nesech raviyat ha'hin, and wine for the libation, a quarter of a hin. So in other words, with every offering, there should be a further offering. So the offering is a sheep or an ox, something like that. And then there's a further aspect to the offering called nesachim, from this word nesach, and the nesachim includes, it's a kind of extra part of the offering, and it is flour, olive oil, and wine. So that is an additional part of the offering, and it's here mentioned in the parsha here.
What exactly is a libation?
Well, the libation means it is wine poured on the altar in the second temple, which was built according to like the latest in terms of engineering. They had a little bowl on the side of the altar with a tube going down into the earth. Mm. And so you poured the wine, the priest poured the wine into the bowl. And that's how they poured on the wine.
And then it flowed down the side of the altar? Or?
And it flowed down in the pipe, down into a kind of a sluice under the altar. And they also had a similar thing for water that was poured on the altar on Sukkot. Because every day there was a water offering as well. And the oil, I think the oil was mixed. The oil was used with the flour. That the flour was taken and then mixed with the oil and made into a kind of cake. And then that was offered on the altar. So these are the libations, the nesachim. I mean, it's not something that becomes an ordinary activity. So it's got this unusual word, a libation. Libation literally means an offering, which is like a wine or something of that kind.
A liquid.
Usually, yes. I think so. Okay, so we'll look what this discourse says, and we'll sing the Maimon Nigun in order to help us understand it. Oh, ye yom ba, ya, 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 yom ba, bo, ya, ye ram ba, da, yo, yam, bo. Ayam ba ya ya ba yum bam boom Ha yinidamba, ha yinidamba, yumba ho. Ya yinidamba, yambambo, yambadidamba, yamba, yomba, manadamba, yambadidamba, ho. Hamba damba, yinidamba, ho ya yamba, yinidamba, ho ya yamba, ho yambambo. Right, so this discourse was said 1983. On this Shabbat. And it's going to be talking about this libation, but in fact it's something very general in life, as we will hopefully see. Lahavin inyan hanesachim, to understand the concept of the libations. Hamavor lirishona b'fashatenu, which for the first time in the Torah is explained in our Pasha. It's interesting. It's spoken about many offerings before at various places, but it hasn't spoken about the nesachim, the extra flour, oil, and wine. Dinyana korbanot kvar nizkar b'pashiyot shelifnei zeh. The general concept of sacrifices, bringing a lamb, a goat, an ox, that's been mentioned in the previous sedras. V'achidush b'pashatenu, the special new thing in our pasha, the inyan hanesachim, is the idea of the libations, shemakhivim im ha-korban, which are offered with the offering, with the animal offering, yain, shemen, v'solet, wine, olive oil, and flour. V'tzarich la'avin ma'o inyana, we have to understand what they're about, what they mean. V'gam ma'o ha-kesh l'inyan ha-knisa la'aretz, and also how these libations relate to the entry to the land. Dichtiv, as it said at the beginning, Ki tavo el eretz moshotechem, when you come to the land of your dwellings. See, the second verse there, speak to the Jewish people, the children of Israel, tell them, when you come to the land of your dwelling, which is the land of Israel, and then it tells the concept of the nesachim. Az dafgo inyan ha-nesachim, then it speaks about the libation.
Is oil, you said olive oil, is it oil generally olive oil?
Whenever it says shemen in the Torah, it means olive oil. I mean, the Torah has no concept of mineral oil, like oil, petroleum oil. But also, it doesn't speak about, corn oil or something like that. It doesn't figure in Tanakh. The basic oil is always olive oil. The sages are aware that you can make oil out of anything. And that figures in some of the explanations about the concept, what does oil mean? But in Tanakh, whenever it says oil, it means olive oil. Olevaize, and to explain this, Mevibi Likutei Torah, in Likutei Torah by Rabbi Shneur Zalman, it quotes, Et Ma'amar Rabbeinu Zichronam Livracha, the saying of the sages, and from this quotation, from this saying, we might be able to understand what is the idea of the libations. Now this is what they said. Anyone who reads the Shema, a man this is, who's saying the Shema, he's in shul on a weekday morning, and he's supposed to be saying the Shema. Now, in order to be in shul davening, normally, he's wearing tefillin. If he's married in Hasidic custom, he's also wearing a talit. But at least he should be wearing tefillin. But here, there's someone who's saying the Shema without tefillin. Ke'ilu hikriv ola b'lo mincha, v'zevach b'lo nesachim. It's as if he brought a burnt offering without a flour offering and a peace offering without libations. So in other words, there's like something which is the main thing, and then there's the second thing, the offering and the libation, the Shema and the Tefillin, and they're sort of compared together. The Mizemuvan, from which we understand, Shinyana Korbanot, that the idea of the offerings, such as Ola, like a burnt offering, Hukumo Kriyat Shema, is like saying the Shema. The inyan and the sachim, and the idea of the libation, is like tefillin. So let's just diagrammatically represent this. So we have the actual korban, right? So we have the offering. It's like saying the Shema. And then there's the libation, which is a kind of secondary aspect, is wearing tefillin. Now, of course, tefillin are also from the Torah, but the Shema is like even if the person didn't have tefillin, they would still have to say the Shema. But the complete set, so to speak, is saying the Shema while wearing tefillin for a man. And the korban and the libation, they also go together. The korban is the main thing, and then comes the libation. Now, from this we're going to understand, hopefully, a very general concept in Jewish thought. You see, the Shema is a kind of a reaching towards God. Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, like it's a point where we express our dedication to God. That's what's happening in the Shema. So it's really reaching to God from below upwards. Tefillin is a command that Hashem gives us to carry out. And so we put on tefillin. And the woman's tefillin are understood to be her husband's tefillin. So with the help of God, that's her husband puts on tefillin. That's her mitzvah of tefillin. So, but tefillin is something which is here in this world. It's a sort of a movement from above downwards. So we could say that the Shema is a movement upwards, and tefillin is a movement downwards into the world. So there's a movement up and a movement down. And this is the basic theme of this discourse. And also with the offering, the korban, the offering is a movement up towards God, and the libation is in some sense coming down into the world. And that's the connection with going into the land of Israel, coming from a very spiritual state into the land of Israel. So these two qualities of spiritual movement, upwards towards the divine and downwards into the world, that really characterizes our whole life. As a Jew trying to serve God, that there is this constant interchange of these two aspects, the movement towards God, ratzo, and shov, which is the movement back. So movement away towards godliness, towards the spiritual, and movement back into the world. So
even fits physically in a sense, because certainly if the korban of leh rises up and libation goes down.
That's a very good point. Down. Yeah, it's like you're pouring the wine and the wine goes down the channel under the altar. Yeah, that's a very good point. Now, so we're on line 14 at the end of the line. Obeya in Yenhu, and the explanation of this is, both the saying of the Shema and Tefillin, they're both mitzvot of the Torah. But there's a difference between them in their content. The saying of the Shema is accepting the yoke of heaven and a kind of self-sacrifice, a dedication to God. Shebapasuk Rishon Shema Yisrael, which we have in the first verse. Hear, O Israel, v'gam v'rak she'achakach ze nimshach bepratiyot b'shalosh parshiyot. Only after that, from that movement of the Shema, moving towards God in the first line, it then flows down into the three chapters of the Shema, v'ahavto, v'haya, and v'yome. Uchanoda Maimar Rabbeinu Zal, as the sages say, Lama Kodma Shema Levahayim Shema. Why do we first say the Shema and then the second paragraph of the Shema? it will be if you obey my command. Kedei sheyakabel alav ol malchut shemayim tchilam. That first, a person accepts on himself or herself the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. Va'achar kach yakabel alav ol mitzvah. And then he or she accepts the yoke of the mitzvah. Well, in a sense, they're both na'aseh at this point. Because nishma means hearing what... Okay, that is a point. No, you could say that. Na'aseh means we're telling God that we're going to do whatever you tell us, but we haven't yet heard what it is you're going to tell us. Then comes nishma, where we do hear. So you could say the shema, the first paragraph, is that we dedicate ourselves to God. And or the first line, and then God tells us more about the mitzvah. Although, in fact, in the first paragraph, there's also mitzvah. So the point. V'hainu, that means the kriyat shema in yana haratzo. That means that saying the shema is the movement towards God, the movement upwards, v'ha'ala, rising up milamata lamayla, rising up from below to above. In yan mesirat nefesh, the idea of dedication, self-sacrifice, pledging ourselves to God. Masha'en kein in yan ha'tfilin, whereas the tfilin is something else. Hu in yan ki yuma mitzvot b'maseh b'poel. Tfilin represents keeping mitzvot in practical action. The huksha, there's a famous phrase, huksha kol ha-torah le-tfilin, kula, the whole Torah, which means, dahainu mitzvah la-torah, all the mitzvot of the Torah, are compared le-tfilin. So tfilin somehow represents all the mitzvot of the Torah. So first of all, we have the dedication in the Shema, and then we have the idea of tefillin, which in some sense represents all the mitzvah. So we could add over here that it's actually all mitzvah. So there's the Shema, dedicating ourselves to God upwards, and the tefillin and all the mitzvot, which is... Which is flowing downwards. And then he uses, he explains something about the meaning of the word tefillin. V'zeh gam ma shetefillin he milashon atofel kli cheres. The word tefillin is rather a strange word in Hebrew. And one of the ways it can be understood is from another verb which relates to the art of the potter. The potter takes a piece of clay and he's making it. It's on a wheel, which is the way the sages describe it, like a potter's wheel today. And the vase is being made. Now, you might feel that there's not enough clay in this vase. You need to get another piece of clay. So you take another piece. I've never actually done this. Maybe you have, Nicole. And you add the clay to what you're fashioning.
I think we all did it. We did it in Israel at that museum.
Yeah.
Or something. What do you call it? No, it wasn't. Yeah, by the train station, there's a historical museum. Something Yael, and we all had to go on the wheel.
Lovely. That's lovely. So this experience is that you take the clay and you add it in to what's on the wheel, and then you somehow smooth it in, and it somehow adds into the wheel. It adds into the whatever's already there, and it becomes part of that thing that you're making. You're making this vase or jug, and the piece of clay that you've added in becomes part of that whole thing. You smooth it, and it becomes part of it. Now that signifies, so this idea, hatofel kli cheres, joining in a piece of clay to a clay jug, which is being made on the potter's wheel, milashon tfila vehitchabrut. You see, the word tfila, prayer, is understood in those terms. When we pray, we are joining into God. We are being bonded with God the same way that the clay is bonded to this vase and becomes part of it. Now, with the, you know, the movement of the wheel, somehow you're now able to make this piece of clay. It's no longer a distinct piece of clay. It's become part of the vase. And in the same way, our neshama is trying to join with God through prayer. And when we do a mitzvah, that's in prayer, that's tefillah. But also doing a mitzvah, there's a sense of bonding with God through the mitzvah. Kamo ha-mitzvot she'inyanan hu milashon tzavta v'chiba. Like the mitzvah, that they represent being bonded together with the divine. And you see this use of the word tzavta. Tzavta is an Aramaic word meaning joining, bonding. And it's a kind of a Hasidic etymology for the word mitzvah. Normally we would say the word mitzvah comes from the word tziva, meaning command. God commands us. So mitzvah is a commandment. But this is a Hasidic interpretation, that the word mitzvah comes from the word tzavta. And the word tzavta means connection, bond. And so the mitzvah is a bond with God. And that's why the tefillin is a flow from above to below. The avshe gam tefillin, now even though in the tefillin, that's an interesting thing. Inside the tefillin is written the Shema. The tefillin and the Shema have a close connection together, because in one of the things, there are four scrolls, or four passages inside the tefillin. One of the passages is the first paragraph of the Shema, the other one is the second paragraph, then there are two other paragraphs. But you've got the Shema in the tefillin. Mikol makom, nonetheless, so in other words, you would say, if the tefillin has got in it the Shema, so the tefillin represents bonding to God, reaching upwards to God. Yes, contrary to this picture. This picture is describing the tefillin as going down. But if the tefillin have got the Shema, you could say the tefillin is reaching towards the divine. However, there's another aspect of tefillin. Mikol makom, nonetheless, yesh bahem rutsuot. There are the straps of the tefillin. She'inyanam hamshacha lamata, which means a flow downwards. When a man wears tefillin on his head, the straps come down and they come right the way down his body. And that's also why part of the mitzvah of tefillin is what one person feels in one's heart. Shibud halev v'hamoach, the bonding of one's heart and one's mind to God. Kitochen inyan tefillin, because the basic concept of tefillin hu lahamshich et hashibud halev v'moach, is to draw this submission of the heart and the mind to God, lamata bigufa adam, that should flow down into the body and the reality of the person. So the person wears tefillin on his head and on his arm. So on the head it represents the mind, and on the arm it represents the heart. And it expresses this dedication of mind and heart to God. And then the straps express the way the straps coming down the body, and maybe the straps going along and then winding around the finger. You know, it's as if the actions of the person and the physical dimension of the person should also express this bonding to the divine. So in other words, although tefillin have got the Shema, the general tenor of what the tefillin is about is drawing downwards, drawing something very spiritual downwards through the body of the person into the daily life of the person.
I was thinking about the three words, tofel, tefillin, tefillah, and tofel as well. They're all, must be all connected.
Yeah, so he's connecting to tafel, meaning to make the clay be absorbed in the vase on the potter's wheel, is like tefillah, that we bond with God and in the same way, and tefillin as well. It's a bond, but that bond is a bond which bonds with the divine upwards, but it also reaches downwards into the world.
Does tafel mean like mundane as well, or worldly?
There is a word tafel, meaning tasteless. Mm-hmm. You know, שמת, האם שמת פלפל בתוך המרק, זה תפל מאוד. Yeah, don't you say that? No, you don't say that. Okay. See, there's another word, tiflut. Mm-hmm. Tiflut means lewdness. But it's another use of the word.
The same root?
I think it's with the taf, yeah.
But when you're learning, and you've got the ikar and tefl, is that the same?
That is with the tet, I think.
Yeah.
That's a tet, not a taf. Yeah. So you got the main thing, or when you're eating,
yeah, okay. I think it is.
You got the main thing and then the secondary thing. That's with the tet, not with the taf.
Oh, maybe that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Right. So now, having explained this about the Shema and the Tefillin, we're now going to look at the same way at the Korban and the Libation, the Nesachim. So that's line 12 on page Vav. V'hine, behold, al derech ha-chiluk ben kriyat Shema u'tfilin, like the distinction that there is between the Shema going upwards and the Tefillin going downwards, keinu gam ha-chiluk ben ha-korbanot le-nesachim. So there's a difference between the offering, the animal offering, and the libation. Dinei tochen inyan ha-korban, because the meaning of the korban, of the offering, hu kishmo, is as in the very word korban, milashon keruv, coming close to the divine. Uchepashtutayinim, as in the simple sense, shnotlim davar mibachutz, one takes something which was outside, and one draws it near to God. Liyot korban Hashem, so that instead of it being something which had nothing to do with the temple or anything like that, now it's brought into the temple, becomes an offering to God. The Zohar says, so much so, va'ad sharaza de korbana ola ad raza de ein sof. The secret of the offering, the spiritual dimension, that means of the offering, rises to the secret of the infinite. Miss out the brackets. So there we have the idea of the offering rising up in a very exalted way. Now comes a kind of an explanation about the role of sacrifices. In line 19, page Vav. The inyan ha-korban, the concept of the korban, of the offering in the temple. Now, it's compared with bread. Hu ha-lechem is like bread. Kamo she-katuv, as it's written, es korbani lachmi le-ishai, my offering, my bread for my fires, for the fire on the altar. Now, what does it mean that the offering is like bread? The kashem shahalechem lamata, just as human food below inyano lechabe et haneshama v'aguf. When we eat, that keeps our soul and body joined together. As I think there's a common English phrase, I've got to keep body and soul together, so I'm going to have lunch or something like that. The idea is that the soul is there in the body, but it'll only stay there if you keep eating. Because if we don't eat for a certain time, the soul leaves the body, God forbid. So there we have the connection between the soul and the body. The af shelifnei ze agufu betachlit hashlemot. You could imagine the body is absolutely perfect. Kamo gufo shel Adam harishon. Like imagine the body of Adam, the first man. Shahaya yitzir kapav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was the formation of God himself. Mikol makom, nonetheless, tzarichu l'nshama. He needs to have a soul. Kamo shekatov, as it's written, vayipach ba'arpav nishmat chayim. God breathed into Adam a breath of life, a neshama, a soul. Uchadei lechaber et ha'neshama v'aguf. And in order for the soul and the body to be joined, tzarich l'inyan alechem. We need food Food keeps the person alive. In other words, food keeps the soul joined to the body. But Tom, and then he gives an explanation of that. Vatam adavahu, and the reason for that, why it is that bread enables the body and the soul to be joined together, mishum shalechem ulamata min adam, because food, bread, is actually lower than the person. And there's a fascinating Kabbalistic perspective that anything that's lower has got a higher level, a higher spiritual radiance in it. Since the bread is lower than the person, v'lachein yesh bo orot elyonim yoter. So therefore the bread has got in it a higher level of spiritual radiance. Kanoda, as is known, shekol ha-gavoh yoter, anything which is higher, yored lamata yoter, descends lower below. V'lachein, and therefore the bread, which is lower than the person, actually has a higher spiritual source. And therefore the bread is able to connect the soul with the body because it's higher than both of them, in a sense. Okay, so that is how bread, which is like the offering, right? That's the comparison. The korban is like the bread, and the bread joins the soul and body together. Now we're looking at the nimshal, what we're really trying to understand, God and the world. So, similarly is in cosmic terms, the macrocosm, when we're considering God and the universe. Just as the soul fills the body, so God fills the universe. Shinyana korbanot, and the concept of the offerings, who are lechem amechabet ha'olam im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The offerings that we bring in the temple are is the food which joins the world to God. It's interesting, it puts it this way round, it joins the world to God. Not that it joins God to the world, but it joins the world to God. Like God is always there. But it's a matter of the world having some kind of connection with God. So by bringing the offerings in the temple, that connects the world to God. Now we can understand the difference between the offering and the libation. Because the connection of the world with God has got two aspects. Is inward, and also outward. There's an inward dimension and an outer dimension of the life force. The Hinektiv, as it's written, Va'achayot Ratzov Ashov, the spiritual beings that Yechezkel, Ezekiel, saw in his vision that was read at the Haftorah on the first day of Shavuot. So those spiritual beings were moving towards the divine and back from the divine. Umavor b'chama mekomot, it's explained a number of places, the Hainu, that meant shechayut, the chayut ha'olamot, that the life force of the world, he tamid b'shtei atnuot, is always in these two movements, either ratzo, moving higher, or shov, coming back downwards. Miss out the brackets. The inyan ha'ratzo, and the idea of the moving upwards, that is the external aspect of the life force. The inyan ashov, and the return, the moving downwards, hiam shachat pnimiut hachayut, is the inwardness of the life force. And that's the difference between the offering and the libation. The idea of the offering is ratzo, is the movement upwards. So we've got this movement upwards, which it calls the external aspect, because it's quite a natural thing to want to move upwards towards the divine from the Kabbalistic perspective, right? It might not seem so if you look at the news of the world, but from the Kabbalistic perspective, the natural state is wanting to cleave to God. More subtle is wanting to come back to the world, which is here being called the inward movement. So there's the external movement is reaching up towards God, and the inner movement is coming back, going down into the world. So that's the Ratzon and Shuv, the offering and the libation. So line 20. So the korbanot, the offering, is the flow upwards, v'ha'ala milamata lamayla, from below to above. Inyan ha'mesirat nefesh, the dedication to God, as mentioned before, like the Shema. Ma'she'enke inyan ha'nesachim, last line on that page, now to page chet. Where is the libation? U'b'chinat ha'mshacha milamayla lamata, is a flow from above downwards. Dugmat inyan ha'tfilin, like the tfilin, shiyam shachat pnimit ha'chayat, which is the flow of the inner dimension of life force. Ubaze yuvan, and through this we can understand, now we're on page chet, line 3, the question that was asked, what's this got to do with going into the land of Israel? Now we can understand the connection to Parshat HaNesachim of this section, this of the Torah, about the libations, like Nisala Eretz Yisrael, to the idea of going into the land of Israel. The Bashar Shayu Yisrael Bamidbar, at the time when the Jewish people were in the desert, Muvdalim Umufrashim Min HaOlam, separate from the world, Bivchinat Dor Deh, they're called the generation of knowledge, and it speaks about them as being in the world of thought, but they weren't in the world of action. So line 8, Az ne'ma inyan ha'korbanot. Then they were told about the offerings, the actual korbanot, she'inyano ha'ala'a milamala'ala'ala, with the offerings are reaching upwards, higher and higher. That's when the Jewish people are in the desert. Omnam inyan ha'nesachim, but the idea of the libations, ha'kashur ma'amshacha lamata dafka, relating to a flow downwards, v'chinat shov, return, it's told to them specifically in relation to going into the land of Israel. That the core of their service there, to be one nation in the earth, in the world, which is explained to mean the nation which draws down oneness into the daily world. Lahamshit et ha-mesirat nefesh de'echad, to draw down the mesirat nefesh, the dedication and self-sacrifice of one, you could say of the one hero Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So that's an expression of dedication, and that should be drawn down into the world. B'toch ha'aretz ha'lezo ha'gashmit, into this physical world. And therefore the land of Israel is here called B'Shem Eretz Moshvatechem Dafka. It uses the term the land of your dwellings. V'lo B'Shem Eretz Kanan V'chiyotze B'zeh, and not other names like the land of Canaan that often uses. Ki inyan ze kashuim inyan yityashvut. This concept it's talking about here is about being settled, dwelling in the land. Inyan Ashuv, the idea of return. So there we have those. So therefore, this quality of going up relates to being in the desert. This is all the time they were in the desert. But now they're coming to the land of Israel. There is the emphasis on the movement downwards into the world. Then it explains the nature of the libation. V'zeo, that's line 19 on page Chen. V'zeo gam mash nesachim heim b'shemen yayin v'solet. They're made of oil, wine, and flour. Shehem gimel hamochin. That relates to the three aspects of the mind, chokhma, bina, dat, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, as is explained elsewhere in Hasidic thought. Ki inyan hamochin uvechinat shov. Because the whole idea of the mochin, the mind, is moving downwards. Now, that's a very interesting thing. You see, the heart flares upwards with an emotion which flares up towards God. But the mind has got the power to move downwards, to bring things down into the world. Even though this is all a preparation for the conquest of the land of Israel, which is a land with seven nations, Zayin HaMidot, which relates to the seven emotions, the seven lower sphirot, Ki Bezman Hazeh, because today, Kovshim Rakat Shivat Ha'umot, we only conquer the seven nations, meaning not physical nations, but our own emotions. Shivat HaMidot, the seven emotions, kindness, severity, mercy, endurance, submission, dedication, fulfillment, those seven emotions is what we're able to control to some extent now. Now, it often says this in Hasidic thought, now we do not have control over the mind. We're not totally, or we're not at all maybe, masters of the mind. All kinds of different thoughts come into the mind and people get depressed and they get this and they get that. There are different qualities in the mind. Whereas the emotions, again, many people, or most of us, are not really masters of our emotions either. You know, a person says, oh, I'm very, very miserable today. So what can be done about that? So from the point of view of Chabad Hasidus, a person can change their mood. They can take themselves in hand and change their mood, which Western man today is not very good at doing. But there is this idea of moach shalit al alev, the mind controlling the heart. So there's the concept that we can, to some extent, at least ideally, we can control our emotions, but it's understood that at the moment we're not really able to control our mind in a full way. But in the future, there will be the conquest. You see, so here it links it up to the nations of ancient Israel. And about this, it says, Al Totsah is Moav. Don't attack Moav. God told the Israelites, don't attack the Moabites. Now, not attacking the Moabites is like not expecting to conquer wisdom, understanding, or knowledge. When will we conquer them? We will conquer them in the future. When Hashem spreads your borders, it's all linked up with greater land of Israel, crossing over the Jordan River, conquering further and further in the time of Mashiach, when presumably everyone will be very happy to be conquered. That some of them would rather be today, I think, rather than living under the oppressive regimes that they are under. But this concept applying to the individual is the idea of mastery of one's mind, Mikol makom, nonetheless, kedei shetia avodat hamidot b'shleimot, but even today, in order we should be able to serve God properly with our emotions, tzarich v'shvil zeh, for this we need, gam hamshachat hamochin. We also need the drawing down of the mind, b'chinat mochin ha-shaychim la-midot, at least the mind relating to the emotions. So we do use the mind in order to control and master our emotions. So that is the Shema reaching upwards and then drawing that downwards to the emotions of the person as well. So we could add here the concept of mind and emotion, and that we are reaching down in order to infuse the emotion with the discovery of the mind. And then the discourse ends off on page Tet. V'hine yadua, now it's known, that it says in the Talmud, D'chola osek b'torat ola, or zevach, anyone who studies the laws of an offering in the temple, ki'ilu ikhiv ola ozavach. It's as if he actually offered in the temple that offering. V'alderech ze yuvan b'inyan ha-nesachim, similarly with the libations, shekol ha-oseh b'torat nesachim, anyone studying the laws of the libations, ki ilu ikhiv nesachim, it's as if he actually was in the temple offering the libations. V'yihi ratzon, may it be the will of God, shal yidei limud ze, that through this study that we've studied now, u'bifrat b'torat ha-chasidut, especially since we weren't studying so much the rules of the libations, as it might have it in the Rambam, exactly which libation you bring when and how much of it you bring. We're learning the Hasidic teachings about the libations, which is the inner dimension. Nizke bekarov, we should merit swiftly lekiyum ha-mitzvot dekorbanot nesachim, that we'll be able to keep these mitzvot of bringing offerings and bringing libations, k'mitzvot l'tzonecha, as God desires, b'gula amitit v'ashlema, in the true and complete redemption, al yedei Mashiach tzidkenu, through our righteous Mashiach. So it starts off with something which on the face of it is a very sort of abstruse, esoteric part of the Torah, the idea of these libations in the temple. And from that it's become a very general concept in terms of our relationship with God, that there's always this double movement. There's a movement towards the divine and the movement back into the world. And that's the Shema, the dedication, and the tefillin flowing down backwards into the world and drawing that spirituality into our practical lives with the help of Hashem. That's also, it says that as well. So they're studying the Torah about the Korbanot, which in fact we do in the Siddur. In the Siddur, it's got the chapter for offering the Korbanot, which we say at Shachrit, and many people also at Mincha, because that's when the offering is done. Mm-hmm. And in addition, the actual Tfilah also corresponds to the mm-hmm. to the offering.
That's a bit of a skip.
A bit what?
That's a bit of a skip.
Skip.
I can't listen to it.
It's hard to relate to it. We've never seen it.
Yeah, it used to be on principle, yeah.